100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily garbage from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post the topic, and then you come up with the stories. No more excuses for the poor audio quality. It is what it is. Maybe you should clean your ears every once in a while. What's that? Ew, gross. Don't show it to me. The topic this week was a pick two. If you're wondering what the two things to pick from were, well, maybe I should look it up myself. Hold on. And click, and let's see. Come on. It's not like the internet is working. Okay. Stupid. Present. If your father sees this mess, I just can't do it. My vortex manipulator. Repetition. Reiteration. Redundant. Fez. Cherry orchard. Pandas. Unsuspecting. What makes you richer? To arrive later in week. So, people are going to pick two of those topics, and then... well, ugh. We got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. The first ones are by Thomas, up there in really far north. So here is Thomas and his stories.
She begged me, pleading. I just can't do it. Not the cherry orchard again. This is the third time this week. My folks are getting very suspicious. The football game was over 3 hours ago, and by that time I'm home, it'll be after midnight. I didn't care. I was only after one thing that this girl could do for me. I stopped the van and got out the things I needed. The 5-gallon bucket and the tripod ladder. Nancy Cream Cheese was not afraid of climbing to the tallest Bing cherry tree to get the sweetest and ripest fruit. If your father sees this mess, he'll punish you, Mom warned me again. My room was filled with gadgets, wires, and dog hair. The experiments with the vortex manipulator were set aside and covered with dust while I worked on my senior project. A cleaning robot for the bedrooms. It would tidy up, put things in the proper container or cupboard, and do the floor and rugs. Following the daily cleaning, several maintenance checks, and oiling. Mom made the mistake of napping during a recent cleaning, and the robot stuffed her into a dresser drawer after a bloody struggle. The pandas were being taught how to spell. They got a few words wrong, including repetition, so we didn't give them fresh bamboo for a week, only cans of bamboo shoots, and no opener. They were pissed. And when the kids passed their enclosure expecting the cuddly little rascals they saw on TV and in storybooks, all they got were half a dozen scowling bears sticking their tongues out at them and showing their backsides. We relented, stopped forcing them to learn new words, gave them fresh bamboo shoots, and the whole staff turned out for a formal apology. She was tall, slim, and wore a velvet fez her senior year. She felt that style was what makes you richer. The fez was a present I gave her the summer before. She wore it with aplomb, her hair in pigtails or brushed straight. She read French poets, played piano, and studied programming. She accompanied me on all my adventures in the city, and we walked, marched, and skipped our way through the financial district at night, watching the tourists and making up stories about them. After high school, she was off to college, giving her fez to her grandmother.
Thank you, Thomas. Just pandas, man. You know, for Halloween, I was wearing all khaki at work, and someone said, "Did you dress up?" And it's like, "Yeah, I'm Jack Hanna from the Columbus Zoo." And it's like, "Oh, where are your animals?" And I said, "I've got fleas and lice. Like I like to see them. So, yeah. Let's see. Who's next? Jeffrey Fisher. All right, Jeffrey. Let's see what's crawling all over you.
This is Jeffrey Fisher with my entries for 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge number 341. And it's pick two. And in fact, I have two stories this week. The first one uses the phrase, "If your father sees this mess," and the word "present." This is called "A Gift for Mom" by Jeffrey Fisher. Dad always had a temper, at least as long as I could remember. No one escaped him, but Mom always got the worst of it. I could see the bruises, cuts, and broken bones, and I cringed inwardly, but I could never show my feelings, for fear of what Dad would do to me. Shortly after I turned 17, I realized Mom had a birthday coming up soon. I wanted to get her something special. After Dad had a few drinks and half dozed in his chair, I snuck up behind him with my baseball bat and whacked him in the head a dozen times. He split open like a rotten melon. I dragged his body out of the house before Mom came back. When she saw the blood spatter, she looked worried. "If your father sees this mess," she began. "I don't think he'll say anything," I replied. "Happy birthday, Mom." And I have a second story, which uses a whole bunch of those words. The Unsuspecting Keepers by Jeffrey Fisher. Barney put the shovel down. "I just can't do it. I can't clean up panda shit anymore. Those cuddly-looking animals brought the tourists to the zoo, but they sure made a mess. Eat a lot of bamboo, shit a lot of bamboo. It's a circle of life. Still, the job had its rewards, like accidentally dropping panda crap on unsuspecting zoo visitors. I figured I could do about one a month without my boss getting wise. "Hey, man," I replied, "it's like the old saying. What makes you richer makes you stronger." Barney stared at me. "Don't be stupid. That isn't a saying. It makes no fucking sense." We stopped shoveling to look at an empty cage. The sign on the cage read, "To arrive later in week." Another panda? Sometimes life is just repetition.
Thank you, Jeffrey. When thank you's not enough, a loss for words. Whew, all right, let's keep going here. Next up is Todd Hogan. Are you new of that? I need to keep track. We have over like 400 people that have been a part. Tom will know how many people, but I swear, 400, 4,000, 4 million. People come and go. You know, it's like, oh, wait, I remember. confused. Time for some coffee. No Bailey's in it yet, even though the last Vicodin and Tramadols I took were Friday. I'm trying to shift over the counter medicines so that I'm not horribly stupid during the day. Let's see. Todd! Okay, let's hear what you got.
Chris slides beside Abby and kisses her neck. He's drunk and horny and desperate to nail his best friend's girl. "No," she breathes, tilting back her head. "I just can't do it to Andy and Jenna." "Fuck it," Chris whines, lighting a smoke and devouring his beer. He leans closer. His stale breath on Abby's throat is a lurid stench of blood and tears. Abby pushes away, pleading, "My boyfriend, no. You smell like my boyfriend." Inside, Andy opens a bottle of red. "Are they gone?" asks Jenna, stroking his arm. The liquor store, he smiles, unsuspecting as always.
Yes! Sweet. Thank you, Todd. And I'd like to point out that the file that was sent was memo.m4a, which means this was recorded on an iPhone. So, yes, if you're like, "I don't know that Audacity stuff. I don't know any of that crap. Hey, I'm angry and old and tired." Well, you can just go into your iPhone, and I'm just going to slide the little slidey. I put mine in, and go into voice memos, and then you can record yourself in the voice memo, and then you hit that little three-dot thingy, and you'll check it, and you'll do share. So isn't that cool? And then you share, and you email it, and then I get it. Or you can email it to yourself, and then compose a lovely note to me. "Dear proprietor of 100 Word Stories, this is my effort. Ooh, you like?" And then you hit send. Oh, and you have to include your topic for the next week and your URL if you have it or your kids have set it up for you. There you go. See? Not so hard. All these people are like, oh, I need a high power studio mic and this. No. And if you want background music, well, you just go somewhere that has music. Just stand in an elevator. That's what I do. I'm in an elevator right now. And to prove that I'm in an elevator, I'm going to stop at the floor of Muncie. You see, if I had just taken an escalator, it would have been stealing from his new book, The Broken Escalator. I've been listening to that. I'm enjoying it. It's really scary. I hope it doesn't come true. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, y'all. Muncie here, recording this during one of his last free minutes before NaNoWriMo eats his brain. It's going to be a fun one this year. Supernatural horror comedy. Working title, A Very Muncie Christmas. I'll keep you posted as to how it goes. But in the meantime, here's a shorter work. A much shorter work. The Orchard Out Back by Christopher Monroe. We buried you in the cherry orchard. Then, a week later, we buried you again. With each iteration that arrived, we were quick to act, caving in your skull and hiding the body out there. It was easy enough to do. Nobody was looking for bodies, after all. You kept going into work through it all, and got home in time to help me with the digging. We could have kept it up forever, but for two things. The repetition was growing tiresome. There's limited space in the cherry orchard that we can dig up. So, fix the damn duplicator. I've already flogged my book pretty relentlessly. And you're all aware of my blog by now. Goodreads. I have a Goodreads. Friend me there. Also, if you shine a Muncie signal across the Calgary skyline, I'll be there. But tweet me at MuncieMuncie first to tell me that that is my signal. And to tell me where you're shining the signal from. What would a Muncie signal even entail?
Ooh, I know the answer to that. It would be what traumatized you as a child. You know, because Batman, it was the bat signal, and Superman was a giant S, I don't know, from a Sunoco sign or something. And, who else? Spider-Man was bitten by a spider. You know, thank goodness he wasn't bitten by, you know, a hooker, or he'd be like, you know, Hooker Man, does whatever a hooker can, and I'm not too sure. Whoa, no, miss, don't knock that. Taking away all my fun. I have to plug that back in. Where's the... this lightning connector, you can get it wrong both ways. Okay, so, let's go with Serendipity. Oh, yeah. Here come the blossoms.
Sakura season. And here in the cherry orchard, I'm lost in a world of pink-hued blossoms. Alone with my thoughts, the tumult and clamor of life fades and dies, just as these blossoms must also fade when their own brief moment of glory passes. Yet for this one precious, fleeting season, they reign supreme. I am reminded that all too often, the delicate, joyous blossoms that briefly paint our lives with their pastel hues are lost in the midst of our battles for survival and success. Blossoms of joy, or the fruits of harsh labor. What makes you richer?
What makes me richer? Well, the stories that you send. And this cat that's next to me, pawing at a blanket that I get to pet. You're so soft, and you're so evil. Yes, you are. You're an evil little girl. And the music. And daylight savings time. Now it's brighter, earlier. I can see the sun come up. And, oh, I gotta take the trash out. Well, I can lift with my right arm now. That's no problem. And the left arm is still kind of... Well, I switched off of the opiate-based meds to an over-the-counter one, and it's sort of working. I've rewrapped the elbow in a bandage so that at least there's pressure there, because otherwise it's like, but I'm laying on the heating pad too, so I just want everything to be the way it was before. You know, everyone's like, if you had a time machine, would you go back and kill Hitler? No, I'd go back and tell myself not to get plastic instead of paper. Then, you know, if there's any gas left in the damn thing. This is why if you're going to build a time machine, don't build it in New York City or New Jersey or any of that. Whatever. So let's keep going here with more stories. This one's by Sing. Actually, he's got two by Sing. And he's putting together some cool stuff here. I'm glad that he's being a part of it. Oh, wait. And hold on. So there's going to be... Okay. Oh, this is going to be good. Yeah, just strap yourselves in. Is there enough gas in the time machine? No? Okay, we'll just get out and push.
At last, Roshi spoke. Sakura. Repeat. Sakura. Petals will flood your mind. The students, in neat rows, obeyed. Shake the tree. They recited and fidgeted. Now, chop it down. This was too much. Roshi-san, challenged the new girl. Why cut? Why destroy the beauty? The others gasped. He said nothing. She got up, went outside for solace under cherry pink clouds. Heaven's orchard. Roshi closed his eyes. Then sudden wind stripped each branch. She choked in a pink downfall. I won't submit, I won't. Roshi laughed. Praise Buddha, someone disobedient and with a heart I can shake free has come. Ha! Fuzzy feathers, cone heads, he sneers. So gay. Bloody stupid. But she loves the wheeling birds of hands, the whirling skirts ready to ascend. I think they are graceful. You forked out $150? Folded arms barricade his chest. Enough. She digs in her long executive nails. Ow! Hey! Heads spin. Prestige? Embarrassment. Toy boy escorts? Never again. So, where are you dragging me tomorrow? Time to put him off. Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. Huh? The trucks. You know, men in drag. Swan Lake in fluffy tutus with hairy legs. Ah, Jesus. Oh, shut up. Just watch the dervishes.
Whoa. That's pretty deep, man. Thank you, Sing.
Yeah, you being a poequel, you like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's Bruin that's up here. You know, although before that, it was, you know, my buddy. Yeah, we miss him. You liked him a lot. Yeah. It was, yeah. Miss used to curl up by him when he was asleep, and he'd wake up. He'd be like, huh? Well, whatever. Yeah, you were such a good little girl. When you're not destroying things. All right. Let's see. Who's next? Zachman. Oh, yes. I think he's going to try for... Yeah, okay, those two topics. All right, here is Zachman.
The chief machinery repairman reiterated to his trainee, repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. Unsuspecting of the captain walking up behind him, the captain says, that sounds redundant. At ease. Will the machine that exploded be fixed before my father's visit? No, sir, I just can't do it because the electronic parts will arrive later in the week. I hate to think of what he will say if your father sees that mess. Maybe I can take him to Giant Panda, unless you can make a vortex manipulator.
Thank you, Zachman. You see, when Zach was young, he was attacked by a Zach. And then he said, I shall become a Zach. And that's how he became Zachman. And there's the Zach signal. Muncie, are you taking notes? What is everyone's? What are everyone's signals? What traumatized all of you as a child in your childhood? The next topic is going to be fear. So maybe we can explore that. Maybe I should shave. Stroking my stubble. Curiously. Beard. Stubble. It's not really stubble on my arm. It's still growing back. I had such a magnificent pelt. And there were people like, oh, that looks stupid. You should shave the other arm so it matches. Fuck you. No. Not happening. You know, oh, the top of your head is bald. Shave the whole thing? Do I look like Bruce Willis? No. Sadly. Neither does Jason Gordon-Levitt. But next up we have Lizzie Goodkov. Yes, the woman who writes oh so much. Writes way more than me. And I'm sure for NaNoWriMo she could just like, boom, done. I know, a lot of you are off doing NaNoWriMo. Me? No. Not doing it. I wrote something, and then my eyes rolled to the back of my head, and next thing I know, I was wearing nothing but a cardboard box. Yeah. Those staples hurt.
Ghosts are tough. Hundreds of years of experience fine-tune their ability to inflict a terrible ill temper on unsuspecting individuals. But things change, and nowadays it is common to see a ghost roaming the empty corridors of a mansion, dressed in rusted armor, dragging his feet to the scratching sound of a forlorn morning star. At dawn, those pesky little children finally back in bed, you may even hear a wailing voice saying, I just can't do it. Not anymore! And that would be the ghost wearing his helm sideways, a glove missing, both pride and makeshift sword twisted in a furious knot.
Thank you, Lizzie. And everyone go to her sights, or I'll break your frickin' fingers. Yes, your frickin' fingers, as opposed to your pinky fingers, or your pointer fingers, or your ring fingers, or your jelly fingers. Ugh. What is it? Oh, you are just a sleepy little girl. Yeah. Yeah, well, who's a snarly? You are such a good girl. Yeah. Yeah, people, it's so rare when I do my recordings and Mist is here. But she is just being such a good little girl. And she's not a bed cat. She's decided. Bruin is the bed cat. Mist is the sleep wherever the hell I want cat. She's sort of independent, but then again, she's a total suck-up when it comes to just sitting here. Yeah, oh, I see the paw. Okay. Who's next? Oh, Cliff, Uncle Monster. All right, let's see. He's got two stories. Okay, great. People are making up for the fact that a whole bunch of other folks are laming out during NaNoWriMo. Yes, I'm calling you out. Great, now there are going to be people that strike in solidarity. Oh, screw you. Been here long before that. So, Cliff and his story.
Hello, Uncle Monster here with this week's weekly challenge, which I will actually attach to my email this week so that Lawrence doesn't have to read my story for me. Sorry about that. Okay, on with the story. When I saw the topics for this week, I was sorely tempted to write three stories. Each story would be identical, perhaps a tale of what happened when your father saw the mess that the vortex manipulator made in the cherry orchard. Something silly like that. I would write the same story three times, but put a different title on each. The first would be called Repetition, the second would be called Reiteration, and the last would be called Redundant. But I just can't do it. It's too stupid. I mean, this show has some kind of standards, doesn't it?
Fuck it. Let's do another.
Pandas aren't endangered. Oh, sure. We don't see many of them, but that's because most of them are hiding in underground cities just waiting for the day when they will rise up and claim the Earth as their own. The ones we know about are exiled criminals and traitors. They have been lobotomized, so they can't give up the great panda secret. When the time is right, the black and white horde will swarm out and eradicate mankind. They got the idea from us, you know. Why do you think there are no dinosaurs? This has all happened before.
There you go. A double dose, a double shot, a double dribble of Uncle Monster. Thank you. Thank you. See, two thank yous for two stories. No, it's not terribly clever at all. I'm just, you are such a good little girl. Yes, you are. Yeah, petting your tummy, that means you're going to bite me. Yeah, because you have little tiny fangs. Even though you're not a kitten anymore. But you're smaller. You're a small little girl. I don't know if you're smaller than Pipey was. But you're small. Oh, well. And she's soft and fuzzy. But she's not fluffy. You know, she was supposed to be fluffy, but... Nope. You're just soft. Yeah. Oh, well. We'll just have to run you through the kitty amalgamator. Speaking of running people through the kitty amalgamator, what happens if we were to run Tura through there? I don't know. I just don't know. But we can find out a glimpse of the future through Tura's story.
It is said that when one tires of London, one has tired of life. And so, on a glum November day, was I idly wandering its alleyways. In the window of an unfamiliar curio shop was prominently displayed a red fez. A fez! I was at once seized of a desire to wear one. I entered and inquired after it. "This is my vortex manipulator," said the shopkeeper, as I placed it on my head. Sunshine blazed through the windows, and I strode out into an Istanbul summer. Looking back, prominently displayed in the window, was a black top hat.
Ooh, cool. Thank you, Tura, and watch out for any Mickey Mouse ears displayed prominently in a store window. Ooh, yeah, we're getting some weird stuff this week. I love creativity. Ooh, that's an interesting feeling. I plan on going to the store to pick up more Tylenol. The Tylenol we have in the drawer expired 2005. I'm sure it's still good. Not so. I'm not taking my goddamn chances. Yeah, they probably have those expiration dates on there just to make you buy more. You know, you should have felt more pain. You need fresh painkiller. You know, I keep buying this stuff. You know, just in case. A rat or a bacterium gets in there and multiplies, and then you're having extra strength, extra bacterium. Where's the nearest drugstore, anyway? Probably wind up walking through the tunnel of mud, and then hit the drugstore on the way up there, and then what time does Best Buy open? Because I got to pick up something from there. Huh. Oh, well, it's fun planning these things out, isn't it? All right. Let's go with stories from Bonchance and Sevi. Ooh, this should be fun. And they only have one attachment, so I don't have to drag and drop and this and that. So, is Pablo back? Hold on. Wait. And looking in... I guess we'll find out. Let me just hit play.
Crab Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word, well, it's pick two from a list of different words. These two stories are a collaboration between Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall. Peppy, come into the family room this instant. What did you do to the television boy? Peppy danced nervously on his paws. How was he going to explain the mess to his mother? Espy would never understand his need to dominate the world. He thought he could reassemble the 60-inch plasma television at first. Then reality set in. Well, Ma, I needed some special parts for my vortex manipulator. If your father sees this mess, you can forget about that new present you've been asking for Christmas for. Well, how about if I now ask for a TV for Christmas? Alfred was an unusual panda. He only ate cherries. When I first met him, he was leaning against a cherry tree in the cherry orchard, with his fez tilted forward, perched on his big head, the tassel blowing around. His clumsy paws picked cherries one by one, followed by spitting the pit out to see how much distance it could get. I startled Alfred when I snuck up on him unsuspecting. I professed that it was odd to see a panda that didn't eat bamboo foliage. He confessed. He did try the vowel shoots once, then switched to eating cherries.
Wasn't that exciting? I'm excited. You should be excited, too. And excited enough to say thank you! Maybe it's the coffee. God, I miss my Baileys. Can I? Who out there is an expert, a subject matter expert, on the topic of, okay, I'm off the Vicodin, I'm off the Tramadol, can I just have Baileys in my coffee? A little bit won't hurt, won't it? It won't just chemically react and turn me into a melting puddle of goo? Or what? Oh, you are such a kitty slut. She's looking up at me and constantly pawing me like, hey, you're supposed to pet me. You're supposed to pet me. Who's petting your tummy? Who's petting your tummy? Yes, you can make a sound loop off of that. Who's petting your tummy? Jerks. How about some updates? Tom? Put down the ledger book and just, we need a report right now.
Here be updates. We are just under 4,300 stories. Story average of 13.12. In the top 10, an incredible 14 authors posted. This includes the triumphant return of Jeffrey of Greater Heights. Go for the gold. Movement. Jeffrey passed B, Brad, and Barry into the 49th place. Baccaro moves ahead of Ted and my friend Carrie into the 36th place. Serendipity passes Almo and Chris into the 25th place. Cliff, Red Goddess, and Lizzie rip past Linda, who falls out of the top 20, a fate that will also befall founding member Andrew Ian Dodge in 2 weeks. At that point, there will be 8 contenders in the lair of the Golden Monkeys. Would it not be grand to have 20 golden monkeys? In the top 10, Steve is 4 shy of passing Guy David. And a final note, your humble scribe has passed Ubermonkey Caleb Bullen. Thus is the reigning champ of the top 10 with 316 weeks.
Twenty golden monkeys. I don't know if there's enough gold in the world for that. Maybe if we make the golden monkeys smaller. Smaller, very small, nano-monkey-sized. No. But we... Oh, I know! The monkey will be the Muncie signal. Then people will start calling him monkey, monkey, monkey. Crap! This is so hard. Tom, just what's your story for the week?
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and tonight's story is called Cadence. Present stupid. Right panda arms. Left panda arms. Forward march. You don't know your fez from a pez. You don't know your fez from a pez. Sound off. Cherry orchard. Sound off. Vortrex manipulator. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can't do it. That was the 440th Rapid Reiteration Alpha Strike Team. Right behind them, a perennial favorite at the parade, the 110-foot Dick Cheney, being pulled this year by BP CEO. LED lights across Dick's head scroll out, what makes you richer to arrive later in the week. Oh my, Dick seems to be dipping dangerously low on those unexpected Shriners.
Damn those Shriners and all of their generosity and their fezzes and their little flying carpets, and just to hell with them. I think those scimitars are deadly weapons. Let's get them. I don't care if they're rubber. A rubber scimitar is more deadly than a gun. It's a fact. Just look it up on Google. It's on the internet. I've seen YouTube videos of a man being killed with a rubber scimitar. No shitting. Oh. Thank you, Tom. I'm just embracing my innards of Frank. You know, if fate had been kinder, I could have been Zafrank, except my name isn't Frank, or Zay for that matter. But no. No, the coach said, "Yeah, Simon, take you, get out. Yeah, get on the bench. Frank, get up there. No, what, Zay Frank? I don't give a shit. Here's the ball." And, well, that's what happened. Hello, little baby. You are such a little sweetie. I love it when I talk to the cats on these podcasts. I'm sure you don't. You don't care. You don't give a crap. She looks like a little kitten, but she's not. She's going to be 4 years old next year. Yeah, she's about 3 and a half. Yeah, she was born on Memorial Day 3 years ago. Yeah. It was a good girl. And you're clawing me. Little rat. No, we're not. No, we don't ever declaw cats, because that's cruel. Yeah, that's so mean. It's like, okay, declaw the cat, now stick it in a vet's office for 3 days so that they suffer where you can't see them, and then you pick them up and everything was so wonderful. Poor little beasties are traumatized. Yeah, that's like sticking me in the hospital for a week after I break my elbow and no one sees and I'm rolling around in agony, and then, oh, it's okay to pick him up now, now that he's drugged out of his fucking mind. Drugs are wearing off, man. Can I have the Baileys in my coffee yet? Please? Please? I miss my Baileys. I know they have non-alcoholic Baileys and the... in the milk section so that you can put in your coffee. And but they have mint. You know, I like the mint. They have the caramel. I'm not a caramel fan. And they have like double vanilla and then trace leches. Like, fuck you. Just where's the standard Baileys? No, it's always got to be, you know, peanut M&Ms and pretzel M&Ms. It's like, where's the goddamn M&Ms? Dark chocolate M&Ms. Screw that. Mint M&Ms. Coconut M&Ms. What the fuck? I loved it when life was simple. You know, you had one antibiotic. None of this, you know, acillin, everything ending in acillin, monkey cillin. I want life to be simple again. One person that can bring back that simplicity is Red with The Adventures of Lola. Reading this week, not me, nope. It's Relish, John Paul Brocaley, whatever the hell his name is this week, I don't understand. He's got more names than Vince Terrazas by Baba Ganoush, Vinny 10,000 Finger. I hope he's okay.
Hey, Crap Mariner. Guess what, buddy? You got Brocaley this week reading for Red. And what we got for you is a Lola story that she has entitled, What Makes You Richer. Well, actually, it's entitled, What Makes You Richer for Crap. Here we go. Hit it! Lola spent her morning catching up on gossip. Jenny in the penthouse broke up with her Latin lover. Mr. Williams is still pretending not to be dating the valet, Edward. The drama of exclusive guests can be quite juicy. The head of security hated to smile and often complained to Lola. Why are they always so happy? He pointed at the maids. It's no secret this guy's miserable, yet he makes more money than everyone combined. Lola learned as a little girl that what makes you richer will never come from a paycheck. Suddenly, she feels bad for gossiping. That's What Makes You Richer, a 100-word drabble written for Crap Mariner by Talk With Marie, Red Goddess. On behalf of both of us, we hope you are feeling better, Crap, and we love listening to your podcast. Take care.
I'm not feeling better. I'm not on the opiate-based drugs. And so, by definition, I'm not feeling better. Although, okay, the nausea has gone away, and I'm starting to be able to shit straight again. But no. No, I want that not feeling any pain feeling. And all of these stupid commercials that say, yes, this will get rid of pain immediately. No, they're fucking lying to you. But then again, it's for little things, not for stuff like broken freaking bones. You know, you don't see someone in a horrible broken bone accident in the commercials, and then it's like, take one of these and you'll feel fine. In fact, you'll feel great. And your hair will turn purple. I wouldn't mind my hair turning purple. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't at all. Although it'd be kind of cool if it grew out little bits of purple, and then when you stop taking it, it grew out normally. Unless it all falls out. You wind up like Bruce Willis, although in Looper his hair wasn't purple when he was younger. Excuse me. Had to clear my nose there. Let's see. Next up. Did I think to thank those two? Okay. Thank you, Red. And thank you, Brocaley. There. Now we want to take a break because there's a glass with a straw. What? What do you want? You are so insistent. You're like, please pet me just a little. I have to scratch my nose with that hand because I can't quite reach my nose with the other hand. I know, that's... Well, I can. I can. I can. I can. There. All right. I do have the flexibility. My range is now 10 degrees, extend, and flex is 114 with a little push. But hopefully that'll get even better with rehab. So, and yes, I do take a Vicodin before age rehab. So I'm not completely off of it. Now that I babbled way too much, let's just hand it to Norval Joe and see what he does.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press. And this is my entry to the weekly challenge number 341. With a pick two. I'm feeling sick tonight. so I'm giving it my best. Here we go. The members of the company got to their feet, brushing the snow from their backs and knees. The blue stone on Sharika's medallion flashed with blinding light to rival the brilliance of the sun and went dark. For an instant, Owen found himself in darkness like the stone. When the light returned, they were back at the goblin village. The unsuspecting goblins were as surprised as the company. "Stupid, redundant reiterations," Sharika said, finding the cube back in her hand, returned it to the waystone. Owen was prepared, and at Sharika's repetition of the words, found himself standing in snow. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Not really. Here's another story. My daughter's fifth grade project is about dog rescue. Today we went to the pound and looked at the adoptable animals. There were a lot of beautiful cats, many I would have taken if I didn't already have two at home. Becca wanted a black chihuahua, which we played with outside in a grassy enclosure. I had told her before, "I just can't do it right now," and had no trouble reiterating we couldn't get a dog. However, I did feel enormous guilt each time we walked past and never played with the one wiener dog present in the facility. We'll catch you next week.
Well done for a sick man. Thank you, Norval Joe. Folks, you can do these things sick. You can do these things well. You can do these things with broken limbs. You can even do them while dead. You can do them. You've proven it time and time again. Now, go for the difficulty level. One more? Okay. Steven the Nuclear Man, he made it in. Oh, he's telling me I'm supposed to change his URL here. Hold on. Okay. Spec the Halls. Spec the Halls with Steven the Nuclear Man. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. He's got that alliteration link going, but let's... And you know what? We can put another link in there. Hold on. I'm going to be generous with the links. You know, what does a link cost anyway? Spec the Halls. I can put all the links I fucking want to. I run this site. Is anyone setting rules? No, only one link. Who's the jerk that's setting the rules? Me. So, screw it. I'm just going to add another link. There you go. Netanyahu is saying, Jerusalem and Ramallah are only 7 minutes apart. And, you know, Mahmoud Abbas is thinking, oh, so a car bomb only takes 7 minutes to get there. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to piss a few of you people off. Oh, don't get political. Fuck you. The elections are 2 days away. Just tired of all the bullshit flying around, you know. If you don't like the candidate, you're a racist and a jerk. If you don't like this, you hate America. Fuck you all. That's the way you think. Just go, leave, get it. Ugh. You know, come on. We're here to do stories. Fun stuff. If you don't like it, set up your own 100 words. No, don't call it 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. Call it the Weekly Challenge of 100 Word Stories. And say, we're here, and we're the first ones who came up with this, and we're the biggest, and we're the widest, and spend lots of money advertising it. And suck up to all the other podcasters, and we're the biggest, and it's like, but where's the love? I'll tell you where the love is. It's with Steven the Nuclear Man. We are stronger for our differences, except when they're so great that it's like, fuck you, and then get out. But no, then we make up, like those two old dudes. What were they? One of them's dead. Dean Martin. I think he's the dead one. And Jerry Lewis. But, no, I don't want to go into that. All right, I'm just going to pet the cat for a while you listen to Steven the Nuclear Man. Are we at 50 minutes yet?
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I have just traveled in time. Back 1 hour, but I traveled in time. And forward every second. But anyway, disregard all of that. Just remember, I traveled in time. I just finished uploading the web pages for Spec the Halls for 2012. That's at specthehalls.com. I changed the focus a little bit this year. It's going to be more about sharing stories. I'm going to be donating money to the founder. There's more details about that on the webpage. But basically, all I'm asking from you is to send me a story. It can be any length. If you send me an audio recording, and details are on the page, then I will donate more money. That's pretty much it. I'm not asking you for money. I'm just asking you to write some kind of holiday-themed story to share with the world. So, I look forward to seeing any submissions you have, and on with today's story. Every second is a little gift. Each moment, a position in space-time. It's something precious. That moment at the zoo when your child first recognizes a panda from a picture book. The playful geek squeak when you slap a fez on your head and declare it cool. Walking under the cherry trees at the Arboretum with your lover. Transform boring moments into an unexpected time to meditate and reflect. Pause to really feel the anticipation of something coming up later this week. Reality is a vast, chaotic mess of experiences. Enjoy it. Because someday, Father's coming back to clean it up.
Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man, and everyone go to Spec the Halls and be a part of this charity effort. Because I'm not setting up a charity effort, and I'm too lazy, so I'm going to jump in with him and just, you know, here's $5. Last night I thanked Stephen the Nuclear Man, and then we went back in time, and I had to thank him again. All right. Last night I was like, were there buffalo in Buffalo, New York, since I'm so obsessed with Millard Fillmore? Relax, he's going to be the topic one day. It's coming. Probably the last 100-word stories weekly challenge, as the weekly challenge of 100-word stories crushes me underfoot. With Norm Sherman's help, probably. The last topic will probably be Millard Fillmore, and then it'll be like everyone will come back. There'll be 400 people telling tales of Millard Fillmore, like some sort of tall tales. That could be fun. Tall tales starring Millard Fillmore. So I was wondering why the city of Buffalo, which Millard Fillmore is buried in, under heavy concrete blocks to keep him from climbing back up out of the ground and going, brains! I was wondering if there were ever any buffalo in Buffalo, New York. And here, Wikipedia, which is never wrong. In 1798, the Holland Land Company hired Theophile Casanova of Philadelphia as its agent in the newly established hub for the area in nearby Batavia, New York. Newly established should have a hyphen. Casanova then hired Joseph Ellicott to survey the area and establish a village next to Buffalo Creek. Ooh, wait, Buffalo Creek. Ellicott decided to utilize the spoke pattern for his new village, which he called New Amsterdam. Fuck you, New Amsterdam is New York. And centered it around Niagara Square. In 1800, residents of the small village decided they did not like the name New Amsterdam. Of course not, because that's New York. And decided it would be called Buffalo. Well, there you go, they decided. In 1808, the name was officially changed, and the village of Buffalo had 25 residents at the time. Well, that must have been easy, because there were only 25 of them. The earliest name origin theory to appear in print, 1825, relates a story about stolen horse meat being passed off as bison flesh, with the site of the illicit picnic henceforth remembered as Buffalo. But the author who conveyed this tale expresses skepticism. Ooh, skeptics early on. May have been James Randi. How old is he? I'm not sure. He looks very old. He could have been around then. One of the 25 residents being James Randi. Let's continue. Blah, blah, blah. Current popular opinion. Buffalo could not be named after the representative of New York because there were no buffalo in the area. And now then they say, maybe there were buffalo in the area. So, just look up Buffalo, New York in Wikipedia. So there, a little extemporaneous reading of Wikipedia to fill this up so it's an hour long. Speaking of an hour long, Planet Z. Yep, he had a story this week. So I'd better read it before you get, you know, tired.
Once a year, the tribe goes to the shore, and the men are held under the water. Anyone who can't fight their way out of their hold is no longer a member of the tribe. Which shouldn't be a problem, since the women do the holding. This worked out well for many years, resulting in quite a few marriages, pregnancies, and rekindled flames once thought extinguished. However, one year, after a particularly rough season with the firewater, the women appointed the 300-pound she-behemoth, Little Buffalo, their chosen holder. She drowned 9 men before the tribe swore off alcohol forever.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about a bunch of really strange topics. And a few good lessons to live your life by. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you can do while Second Life isn't working. Just thank you, Lyndon Lab. Oh, we have unexpected maintenance. No, that's called a crash. Until next week, where the topic will be fear. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.
You know who invented the wiener dog? NASA. You see, they're Russians and godless commies. They launch dogs, they pick up stray dogs, and they huck them into space, and NASA's thinking, we need to launch some dogs into space, too. And so they thought, we'd just grab any dog, maybe even Snoopy. You know, get some money from those MetLife people, stupid frickin' dog. So, but what they did was, they were breeding dogs to be long and lean. That way they could stack a whole bunch of them, like rods in a space capsule. And so they bred up the wiener dog, you know, real long, real stubby legs you can't really get around. And sure enough, they sent up a monkey. What the hell was that about?